Blog Talk Radio.
D's an author and an international blogger. D's a mental health advocate and an accomplished musician. She's an author and an international blogger.
Well, that was fun. Let's try that again. Listen, folks, Blog Talk has been giving issues over the past few episodes that we've been doing here, so this is the mindset. We do this show every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And our show this evening, listen, there are times when our lives are full of judgmental and perceptual thinking. So when we have the opportunity to nurture ourselves, then we just need to do it. That's why we're going to be talking about the 12 steps to happiness right here on The Mindset, here on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network. We'll be right back. Hit it, AW. Everybody, this is Shane Schultz here on The Mindset. Folks, like I said, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps to happiness, but I don't do this show all by myself. I do it with a very good friend of mine, and she's also the expert of The Mindset here on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network. Her name is Claudia Israel. Claudia, how are you this evening? Claudia, are you there? Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Are we going to have one of those difficulty shows?
Oh, it's good that, you know, I don't have any objects around me at the moment. But, yeah, okay. So I just introduced you as our mindset expert. So how are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, man. You know what? I think this is for next week's show. I'm not sure, but it is what it is. It's fun. This is fun. I had a nice day, actually. It was a pretty good time with a good buddy of mine. And You know, so I was having a really good day, and then and here we are now. So this is all about the 12 steps to happiness. But before we get to that, I know that you have an event that you've got going on, and it's called Peace Stock. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that a little bit?
Oh, super cool. I'd love to. Well, I'm pretty excited. This is the third year that I'm hosting the event. It's based on the idea that I wanted to bring people together for a day to enjoy kind of peace and music. And so I have free music, a free barbecue, free henna tattoos, and some other things. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't solidified everything, but a lot of people want to help out. But basically, we have a great lineup of music. It's September 10th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we're going to be having Eric Lewis. He's awesome. He plays the ukulele, and he's very talented and a really nice guy. And then we have the Black Ship, and they are also really cool. They are kind of heavily influenced in the Depeche Mode, 80s, new wave kind of influence. Then we have the Forever Young Band, and that band is put together by Peter Warren, and Peter has done our sound for the past 3 years. So this year, he actually was able to get some guys together, well, and a girl, and they're going to play a whole bunch of different music. They're going to be doing, I guess, a cover song from Adele, who I don't know who she is, but I'm told that's a good thing. and then we have Doc Magnum, and they're also a local band here in the Capital District, and they play this really cool jazzy fusion bluesy kind of stuff, and I'm really excited to have them on the show. And then we have the Andrew Wheeler Band, which of course we all know we're big fans of Andrew Wheeler.
He's doing
a band of gypsies from the Jimi Hendrix time cover tribute. He's pulled all that together for us, and he is opening directly for, drum roll please, I actually got a national jam band. Consider the Source is actually going to be coming. And I know, can you believe it?
Yes,
they, after I kind of pitched the event to their production manager company and sent them the links to the Sanctuary for Independent Media along with the stage, which is at Freedom Square in Troy, New York, they just had to be part of it. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, they're really excited. And, you know, they're being really, really cool. So today, actually, we finalized all the sound arrangements, and we are officially allowed to announce that they're coming. We have the flyers all approved. So they're down. So it's going to be all over social media. So I'll be posting it, I'm sure, to the Mindset. And I want to encourage anybody to please share it all over so that we get the word out. And it's a free event. And it's just about, like, having a peaceful, hopeful day and kind of raising awareness for suicide prevention that, you know what, there are days that are not going to be happy days, but Peace Stock is going to be a great day for everybody. So I just wanted to be able to offer hope to people, and that's what this festival is all about. It's peace without politics. I'm sponsoring the event and coordinating it, so you don't have to worry about it being sponsored by any dark, evil forces. So no corporate sponsorship, nobody's going to try and convert you or try to sell you anything. It's all free. So come on down. Yeah. It's at 101st at the junction of 5th and 6th Avenue in downtown Troy, New York. You know, I'm being told that the capacity for people is up to 1,000 at a time. So I'm hoping that we get that kind of crowd.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Listen, you're going to need to know the name Adele. Adele is, I know you've heard some of the songs, Rolling in the Deep. is one of her main ones, but she has many. She is the number one recording artist right at this moment. So definitely.
No, Shane. Andrew Wheeler is the number one. Come on now.
On the Speaking of Heart Radio Network, yeah, I'll go along with that.
Yeah, I don't know who Adele is. I really don't listen to a lot of popular mainstream kind of music. I'm much more in the, you know, I'm much more in a different kind of zone, you know. So I actually don't know who Adele is, but like I said, a lot of people seem to be pretty excited about it.
Yeah. You'll like her. I promise you, because I know you very well, and I think that you'll like her a lot. So when's this going to happen now? This is going to be in September, right?
Yep, September 10th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. At Freedom Square. It's hosted, the location is being sponsored by the Sanctuary for Independent Media, which is where I volunteer every week. And there'll be a radio show happening there at some point, too. So we're going to be bringing the mindset to the local radio down there with the folks. And they are actually affiliated with Pacifica Radio. So that means that we actually will be able to reach a lot of people in rural counties who don't have access to the Internet. So the mindset will actually be able to reach a larger group of folks that don't have some of the same privileges that I think, you know I take for granted. You know, I think at this point, I always think everybody's got Internet. And really, that's very far from the truth. So I'm excited about that. So, you know, I know, Shane, you and I have talked about kind of, you know, bringing it out there and seeing what we can do for the folks at the Sanctuary and then at Pacifica. And that FM station is 105.3. Mm-hmm. And you can also get more links to the Sanctuary on Facebook and mediasanctuary.org. And also all the postings for Peace Stock will be happening on the Facebook page, Peace Stock 80. So I post there on a regular basis what's going on. I was actually down there today and took some pictures of the stage with my friend Peter on it because, you know, he really kind of hit a home run for us getting all the sound coordinated. So I'm pretty excited about all that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I am, Lum. I'm really looking forward to getting the mindset out off of not only the Internet, but also out into Pacifica and the Sanctuary to different listeners that are out there, because I believe that the mindset is something that people can certainly rely upon and learn from. And I really am excited for that opportunity. So we are just announcing that here today. Okay, so, you know, we've had some fun in the beginning of this show, so let's go. Let's see, what 12 Steps to Happiness, where do we want to go with this?
Well, I think the first thing I want to say is I tricked our listeners just a wee little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys, but it's a catchy title, and I had to go with it. And the word that I tricked people on a little tiny bit is happiness.
No.
Now
I knew it.
A minute. You knew it, didn't you?
I did. I almost put it in the promotion.
There's a trap there. You know, and I think we've talked about this at some point before, that happiness is a great state of mind to have, and certainly it is achievable. But it is a temporary state of mind, just like sadness is a temporary state of mind or anger is a temporary state of mind. And always trying to shoot for happiness is like always trying to have the peak experience at all times. And that's just not feasible. And if you're always happy and always pursuing happiness and that's the only thing you're going for, then you're missing out on a lot of stuff. So what I'm really talking about today is the 12 steps to peace and serenity, because that is an achievable state much more consistently. Because if you have a certain mindset and you follow a certain path in life, then you will have peace of mind. which is, gotpeaceofmind.org is my website, which that's what it's all about. It's about just finding that peaceful place. And that is achievable and that is doable on a regular basis. Happiness, wow, it's great when it's there. You know, sadness, I mean, I wouldn't call it great, but there's always a lesson there and there's always something we need to do with that. I mean, sadness offers us lessons as well as anger does. So today we're really trying to achieve a state of mind that's super pleasant, contentment, peacefulness, serenity. I always ask people who come see me who are like, Claudia, I want to be happy. And it's like, that's great. Let's shoot for content. Because, you know, happiness is way up there, you know, and it's great when we have it. But, you know, we get disappointed when we get sad. Whereas when we're in content and peaceful and serene, you know, we're just kind of right there in the flow of life. You know, everything's going well, you know. I mean, you know, we're in the flow of life. And that's really kind of when we talk about, like, a lot of the, you know, different paths in life. The middle way is really, you know, what it's called. And that's where peacefulness is. And, I mean, let's face it, folks. I mean, having a peaceful state of mind a good chunk of the time.
Yeah, it's funny how you mentioned the word serene, because that is actually the name of my mother company that I own, and that is Serene Enterprises. So it's a word that I've used for quite some time. Most of the time it was in regards to golf, because of the different scenery that was out there. It was very serene when it came to the water, and when it came to, like, the dew on the grass and everything like that. It was a very serene scene that I would constantly see. But you're right. When we're talking about happiness, that is really going up a different level more than what it is that is normally achievable. Because often, if we're sitting there and we're shooting for happiness, then we have a certain expectation that we have in order to get there, or what it is that it should feel like when we are there. And if we don't feel that, well, then we start kind of falling down the ladder, so to speak. As to where, you know what, then we're not so happy. And then we fall not only from happiness, we fall from contentment. And next thing you know, we're in strife, struggle, and unhappiness. And so that's something that we definitely want to be able to help our audience understand, so that, again, the whole point of this show is to help our mindset be our very best ally instead of our own personal enemy. And, you know, that is something that can happen if we're shooting for something that is not always attainable every day.
Yeah. And that's it right there, you know, and I think that we've really been offered a set of goods to buy that is, you know, really not that attainable, like you said, on a daily basis. And then people get disappointed, and then people get sad, and then it starts this whole cycle of negative thinking, like, why can't I be happy? What's wrong with me that I can't be happy? What did I do in a past life so that I'm not happy? Even in our Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know,
yeah.
So that's what we're supposed to be pursuing, even according to our Constitution. And it's just not doable. And if we can get to a mindset where, you know, shooting for peace and contentment, where we're shooting for, like, embracing where we are and looking at, you know, the gifts of any given time in our lives, that really makes a huge difference in our mindset. And then,
sure,
we may not get sad as much. We may not get angry as much. And then, even though we may not be happy all the time, at least we're not living in a lot of unpleasant emotions. So there's a win-win there, too.
Yeah, and, you know, to the defense of our Declaration of Independence, I mean, it was a different kind of world back then, right? I mean, it was very simplistic compared to what it is today. There's a whole lot of things that are out there that are traps, are trap doors, so to speak, that can lead us to thinking that happiness or something, you know, ecstatic can be achieved over and over and over and over. And, you know, yeah, it's something to shoot for, but it's not something to expect I think that's something that we need to make clear, is that we're not telling you not to try to be happy, by no means. That's not the case. In fact, we're trying to actually get it to the point where you understand that contentment is happy. And so, you know, and with that being the case, you're satisfied for how it is that you feel for that given day or that given moment. Here it is that if you're shooting for what you perceive as being happy, well, guess what? You're going to end up following that up with judgment thoughts. You're going to end up sitting there and saying, why don't I feel like I think I should when it comes to me being happy? And next thing you know, that ends up being a down the drain type of feeling, because next you start saying, well, I'm unhappy, because you're not achieving that level that you're looking for. And a lot of that has to do with the expectations that we now are accustomed to when it comes to our life, whether it be social media, whether it be entertainment, or are just our lofty expectations.
Yes. Yes, that's it. We definitely have lofty expectations, and, you know, how we classify what happy is, what we're told happy is, you know, that we have to have a certain style of living, that we have to, you know, have achieved something by the age of 30, 40, 50. And if we don't, you know, fall into that expectation, then what's wrong with me in my life and what have I done? And, you know, I see a lot of that in my practice nowadays, of people who are like, why can't I have a family and children? Why am I still single? Why didn't I do X, Y, and Z? And, you know, I'm always trying to reframe people's expectations around that, you know, on the flip side, I see a lot of people who have been married for 16, 20, 30 years and are like, man, let me out of here. You know, like, done, you know, I'm done with this life. Like, it was great, and now it just doesn't work for me anymore, and I got to move on and do something else. So it's just really interesting to work with people's, like, oh, I should be here, I should be there. And it's like, no, you should be you right now, the way you are right here, right now.
Mm-hmm. Listen, let's go ahead and take our first commercial break here. And, you know, when I say commercial, we're going to listen to our good friend, Andrew Wheeler. I call him AW. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the 12 steps that we use to find what is a different way of thinking of happiness is, and that's contentment or peace. And what else, Claudia?
Serenity.
Serenity. All right, folks, you're listening to us here on The Mindset, and we'll be right back. We're we're back here on the Mindset here on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network. I just want to mention that we actually debuted a new podcast here on the Speaking of the Heart Radio Network this past Saturday. Its name is Voices for Change with Joe and Rebecca Lombardo. It is an absolute great show. It's one that is something that I'm very excited about. It's from mental health to music to movies and more. Rebecca and Joe, they provide a healing platform through awareness and a voice for change. And I got to tell you, we did our debut this past Saturday with our good friends of Sapphire Rain. That's Amanda and Austin Harris. And it was just an amazing show. It was not without its challenges because Blog Talk had some issues that was going on. Their server had crashed, and that's why you hear the music sometimes is a little bit different than what it is that we really are expecting here. But they're working on it. I've made some calls, and I've talked to a number of different people, so they're working on it. And even with the challenges that we had, I got to tell you, it was a fantastic show, and it had to do with the people that were part of it. And that is Amanda, Austin, Joe, and Rebecca. They really did a great job for our debut. So I'm really looking forward to it. I know this week's show is going to be with a mental health motivator. His name is Rudy Caceres. And so you definitely don't want to miss that show. That's every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. All right. So, Claudia, we're talking about 12 steps to happiness. Why don't you get us started?
Okay. So the 12 steps that we're going to talk about today is like another path through life, just like what we talked about last week, walking the beauty way. And we still have a lot more to talk about from that show last week. But here's an introduction to the 12-step path. And the 12-step path was really created by the Oxford group, by Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob. They were the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I hope nobody changes the channel at this point because I'm going to kind of clarify a few things and get rid of a few myths that people might have in their minds. And what we're talking about in this show is how to adapt the 12 steps to your life. So doesn't mean that you have to have addiction, doesn't mean that you have to have anything, doesn't even mean that you have to necessarily be in a bad place. The 12-step path through life is a really cool path. And so the 12 steps basically go like this. The first three steps are kind of clumped together. And basically the first step is kind of admitting that your life is unmanageable in some way. So something's not working. Your life isn't working. And you are acknowledging that, okay, this is not cool. The second step is that you are willing to recognize that your own thinking and your own choices have brought you to where you are today. So that you are willing to believe that there's something else, something bigger than you, that there is some kind of something that you're willing to believe in that can help you get your life to where you want it to be. And that can be, you know, and this is the word that, you know, I mean, for some people it is God, but for some people it's Buddhism. For some people it's their treatment program. For some people it's people who know what they're going through, you know, that you are basically saying, you know, I believe that there's something out there that's going to help me. The third step is I'm going to let that thing, whatever that is. So let's, for example, say it's your therapist. I'm going to listen to the suggestions that my therapist has and try to do things the way they're suggesting because my way is not working. And I come up against that quite frequently in my practice where, you know, people are telling me how unhappy they are and how they're not getting to where they want to be and that they're not in a good place in life. And then when I start making suggestions on different things that maybe they should do or try, sometimes, I mean, certainly not all the time, but there are quite a few times where people are very challenged by that and they don't want to try certain things or they try it once and it doesn't work out maybe the way they were hoping to the first time, so they stop. And let's face it, guys, you know, when we've been making our own decisions our whole lives, we've been making them over and over and over and over and over again based on a certain life philosophy that we've got ingrained in our head. So when you go into therapy, the idea is that you're basically saying, hey, something's not working in my life, and you're the person that's, you know, the professional, so help me figure it out. So the best thing to do is before you ever go into a therapy office or in a group, is you need to be pretty clear on making a decision that you're going to let whoever you've decided you think can help you, help you. So that means that you're going to start to do things differently. And that's very challenging, and it's very uncomfortable in the beginning. But the more you do it and the more you practice, the easier it becomes, and then it becomes like your new way of life. So that is those are the first three steps. So you have to be pretty clear. Something's not working. I think something out there can help me, and I'm going to let that something help me. Like, I'm going to really allow it to help me. Step four is very, very important. Step four basically is that you are going to make a list of all the resentments that you have toward people in your life, toward situations in your life, toward, you know, some systems in life even. And that you're going to really do a thorough job in like a journal format where it needs to be formally written down, because it's something that you're going to continue to do for, let's just say, if you decide that this is the path you want to try, you know, it's something that you're going to do every few years for the rest of your life because new things build up. So, for instance, you know, say that you're resentful against your job because your job gives you too much work to do, and then your plate's so full, and then you're over busy, and you're stressed out, and you get burned out, and you really become quite, you know, overwhelmed. So that's the resentment. So the resentment is toward your boss. And then the next column after you write out the resentment is, where did it hurt me? Like, where is this resentment hurting me? Well, it's hurting me because, you know, my ego is involved now, because now I feel like I'm not good enough, or I'm, you know, my relationships are impacted because I don't spend enough time with my family, or I don't spend enough time with my friends, so I'm not having as much fun. And the last column in this exercise, which is why this is a pivotal one that a lot of people who do this life, they don't really go right to step four. It generally takes a little time to get there. But some people already have steps one, two, and three down in their life anyway. You know, they believe in something, and they're willing to listen and try to do different things. So step four is a good place to start. And then the last column is, what was my role in the dynamic? So it takes two to tango. So if you have resentments towards another person, you know, you are in that relationship too. So what role did you play? I'm not saying that person didn't do something, but how did you help create the dynamic that brought it to where it is? So in the example with at work, you know, and that's a personal example in my own life in many ways, at least a long time ago, is I would always volunteer to do so much. And then it became kind of like an expectation, and then I, you know, ended up doing. And then I'd be really upset. I'd be like, wow, they expect me to do everything. But meanwhile, I was raising my hand at every meeting. I was the one, because I get excited. And, you know, so I really had to look at that. And then the worst part was for me to kind of have to step back and step out and then say, wow, I really can't fulfill that commitment. So for me, that was something I really had to look at. And now, you know, as many times as I want to raise my hand, I'm like, okay, I really can't do that, because I have all these other commitments and I don't want to have to lose something to make room for something. So step five is that you then tell another trusted human being in your life your step four. You tell them your list. And that person then helps you figure out all the columns. Like, you know, you do a rough draft, and then that person you tell listens to everything you have to say. And generally, the expectation, because you're going to pick somebody who really cares about you and loves you, is that they're going to love you and hold you and, you know, let you know, hey, you told me I didn't run away. It's all good. Here I am. You know, and that's step five. Step six is that now you're willing to kind of, after you look at this list, now you're willing to say, okay, I'm ready to let this shit go. Oops, sorry. I'm ready to let this stuff go. Am I allowed to swear on the radio?
On this one you are. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to, but, you know, that flipped out. But anyway,
cool.
So step six is basically saying, hey, you know, I'm ready to let this go now. Step seven is that you're humbly asking that they're called character defects, those things that are in the last column, that those things, that you're going to help, you know, have those things removed, that you believe that whatever power that you think can help you is going to help you remove those from your life. So in therapy, the idea is that if the last column about you is that you raise your hand all the time because you have low self-esteem and you want to bump yourself up, then, you know, self-esteem is the issue you need to work on. If you're doing it because you're a people pleaser, then people pleasing is what you need to work on. And that's then step seven, is kind of saying, all right, step six is I want to let it go. Step seven is, okay, I'm asking that I work on this with somebody to let it go. Step
all right,
eight
so,
is making...
All right, hang on. Let's all right, so I get those 12 steps, but let me catch up here for a little bit. I'm trying to go along with it. Okay, so the first step is obviously saying that your life is unmanageable, right? That's not that all that difficult to understand because you get hit over the head constantly and it comes to be reality for you. Okay, so step two is finding a higher power, whether it be God, whether it be Buddhism, whether it be, you know, like you had mentioned, the therapist, however it is that works for you in order to have yourself an open mind to being able to be changed or actually be open-minded to change, that's where we're going to go. Step three is now what again?
Step three is saying I'm going to turn over my will and my thinking and my way of doing things to whatever I have chosen to be greater than myself.
So in other words,
so
you're going to get
I'm
out
saying,
of your way.
Yes, you're going to get
right?
out of your way is a good way of putting it, because you're going to trust that if I'm your therapist and I say to you, next time your drug dealer calls you, please don't call them back. Or if I tell you get rid of all those numbers in your phone, that you're going to do it. Or if I tell you, you know, we've discussed toxic relationships in your life and you keep going back to the well over and over and over again, drinking poison, then I suggest you need to limit contact with your family. You need to not see your father. You need to not, you know, you need to really think about setting boundaries and saying, if we talk about this subject, I'm not coming over anymore, and doing that. And if people don't do that, and then they wonder why they continue to get the same result in their life, that doesn't work. So really,
right.
Steps one, two, and three are so important, because step three basically implies that you are really ready to say, okay, I'm done. I'm turning it over. My thinking, my actions, and within reason, of course, because you and whoever you're working with, whatever higher power concept you're working with, you trust them. Like a lot of times in AA, it's AA that becomes the higher power, because people in the rooms, they have made mistakes. They know how to be in recovery. So if I call somebody in AA and say, I really want to go to the grocery store because I don't have milk, but I have to go past the beer to get to the milk, what should I do? You know, because somebody who's been dealing with addiction will go to the grocery store to buy the milk, walk past the beer. Walk out with a beer, right.
Yeah,
so if you call somebody in the program and they're like, hey, I'll go to the store with you, or why don't you go to Stewart's instead because the beer is over here and the milk is over here, or whatever. I mean, whatever creative problem solving. But basically you're saying it seems like a pretty simple decision to go to the store to buy milk. But when you're talking about this life path, it's not. It's not an easy decision to go buy milk. You need to check in with somebody. And that's the piece that a lot of people struggle with, is letting go of that level of control. But you have to acknowledge my life is powerless because of how I've been doing things.
Right, exactly. That's what I wanted to get to, is the fact that you don't have to be an addict, okay, in order to be able to learn from these three steps that we talked about, because there is many different studies that are out there. There are many different things. It's all about patterns, okay? And I've said this many, many, many times, that our lives are built on patterns. We have patterns throughout our life that, you know, it's very simple to get into a routine that ends up being detrimental for us. One of the things that we've talked about often here on the mindset is core values. Core values is something that has the possibility to send us into a tailspin. It has the possibility of actually being an object in our way of being able to be happy or content or whatever word that you want to use, because our core values are handed down to us from generation to generation to generation. And on top of that, hey, listen, you can't just blame it on the generations before you, because guess what? We develop our own core values as we grow. So when we're sitting there, our own core values are based off of what it is that was passed, what was handed down to us in most cases. And then we end up wondering why it is that we keep on ending up in the same place over and over and over and over. Maybe you're at work and you for whatever reason, you can't hold a job very long. For whatever reason, you have all the good intentions, but for whatever reason, you end up not being able to hold a job very long because it just ends up getting stale. It ends up getting too contentious. It ends up getting in a certain way. It's where you feel the need that you have to leave. Or you think that the grass is greener on the other side. Well, guess what? Sometimes that's detrimental to us, but it's our instinct to do so. So then we hit step four. Now, what's step four now?
Well, step four is basically, because the implications of step one, two, and three is obviously that, you know, you believe in something, you're going to allow something else to help you. And step four is like what we would call baggage. So that's all the stuff that we carry around with us. So resentments hold us back in life. In fact, resentments are one of the biggest things that hold us back. Because if you resent your parents for, you know, how you were brought up, which I said this on a show a long time ago, and I think the reaction was like, oh, my God. When I was like, yeah, blame your parents. Go ahead. Go wild. Blame them. Because, you know, like,
every time she says this. But go ahead.
Well,
every
time. I have to say it every single time, though, because it's unrealistic to say to somebody not to do that. That's not fair, you know, because the bottom line is, if all of us have that in common and everybody can react to it because we all have done it, that means it's pretty real. And I'm not saying, you know, stay stuck there, though. I'm saying, okay, blame your parents. Okay. But you have to fix it. Yeah, okay, blame them. But now you fix it, and you fix it by working on your resentments. And once you start working on your resentments, then the next steps that follow are about letting go of those resentments and working with what comes up around you in those resentments. Because you can't change other people. I can't change my mother. I can't change how she raised me. That's the past. It's done. Can I be pissed at her for it? Absolutely. Go ahead. But the bottom line is today, I'm the one, I can only fix me, which is why the resentment list on some level feels somewhat good, because you get to write all that stuff down. But then the ultimate thing is, well, what do I need to do? What work do I need to do on me so that I don't stay stuck in those resentments and I can let them go? So that's what the subsequent steps are about. It's about telling somebody you trust and love who's going to be like, hey, cool, no big deal, we'll get through this, to then believing that you can let go of these resentments, to then actually making the list of people that maybe you have done something to harm because of your resentments or your character defects or some of the actions in your life.
Okay.
Because
so
let's face it, you know.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to rush. Go ahead.
This show is going
all
well.
Our time stopped
tonight.
Go ahead.
Well, the reason I'm trying to rush, but it's quarter of the hour, and
well, yeah.
We're at step eight, sort of. And I just want to kind of do a brief review of all of them, and then we can do an overview, because I know sometimes, and this is fine, like last week's show, you know, kind of getting cut short because, gosh, we could do this show like we've talked about many times for hours. We basically need to get to a place where at least we've covered all the 12 steps at least a little bit. so people can kind of decide, oh, that sounds kind of cool. Maybe I would want to pursue that more.
Well, my thought process, because the way that it was going, like you said, we're at quarter of the hour. So why don't we do six of the steps tonight? Why don't we do half of the steps tonight and we'll do the other half next week?
So make our first two-parter?
Yeah. I think the 12 steps is a phenomenal program. It's something that I very much respect, and it very much changed my life in the best of ways. I want to make sure that, you know, our audience is sitting there and they're actually being able to grasp hold of it. And, it has no bearing on what it is that's being said or how it's being said. It's just the fact that it's just a lot. So why don't we do six steps this week and we'll do the following six steps, next week. Because I think that it's that we can take our time in talking about this, because we're talking about resentments, and resentments is a big subject when it comes to being content with life. So why don't we go in that direction? So, all right, so we're at five, right? So where do you want to go from there?
Well, five is basically just telling somebody that you trust what your resentments are. So
okay. That's
a relatively easy step, because you just have to, in your own mind, pick a person that you know that you trust and that loves you and is not going to judge you or make you feel bad. Because once you write down all your resentments, that can be a heavy-duty list.
Yeah.
And who they're for. And as you start writing your resentments, a lot of times what ends up happening is you find miraculously many, many more that you didn't even know you had.
Right.
And that's part of why the exercise of writing it down is so important, because a lot of people will come to me after I do this with them in therapy, and not around addiction. A lot of times it is around just general unhappiness in life, that I'll be like, you know, you can't just expect that you're going to be able to wipe them all away at once. Like, you're actually going to have to recognize that more things are going to come up that you never expected, but those are the things that have been holding you back. So you can't come in here and say, oh, they're all in my head, I figured it out. No, you have to write them down. Because in that act of writing it down, that's when you're like, oh my God, I had no idea I resented, you know, my babysitter. I had no idea I resented whoever it might be. And that's when some really juicy things come up, because those are the resentments that, you know, maybe are those hidden ones that have really held us back in many ways that we never even really knew or acknowledged, because we were just thinking about the same old ones in our head over and over again.
Well, it's funny that you should mention that, because, I mean, in my therapy, I noticed that when I started talking about my resentments, when I started writing them down and such, I started coming up with different ones like you were talking about. And I was having different feelings. One example is that when I was in the 12-step program, and my addiction is gambling, but I have an addiction, you know, I have an addiction gene in my body, and I have an addict lifestyle that I have to work my way around and manage, and so that it doesn't end up being detrimental to my life. And one of those things that I would find is that I would find different relationships. that I would sit there and I would rescue. I would do everything that I can to find somebody to be able to rescue. Well, basically what it was happening is that it was a sick person, which was me, looking for another sick person to rescue. Well, that's not really a good idea. That's a, it's a noble idea. It's a way of you know, it makes total sense to someone like me. But the bottom line is that it actually is two people ending up not being able to fulfill one another. And I was in a relationship, and I was going over the 12 steps, and I was going over my resentments, and I was going over different things that, that are my character defects, so to speak. And I came to realize that I was in a relationship that I loved this person a great deal. I absolutely loved this person without question. I still love this person to this very day, but I did not like her very much. And so, you know, so I didn't realize that until I started actually going over the different resentments. So when Claudia is mentioning that things come up as you write things down, they do. So definitely write them down, think about them, take your time. This is not a rush. This is not a race. Do it in a way that's going to be helpful for you. And it doesn't have to be in one setting, does it, Claudia?
Oh, gosh, no. Working on a step board takes absolutely it just takes a really, really long time. And
yeah.
That's okay. It's meant to do exactly that, to make you think. And by writing it down, you realize more things that are holding you back, basically. And, you know, then as you keep this notebook, you know, I know people who've done multiple step fours in their lifetime, and each time more baggage gets cleared out of their life, because once you recognize the resentment and you can start to let them go, that's when you become free. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the subsequent steps that we'll talk about next week are all about how you're going to get rid of those resentments and how you're going to do your own healing work so that you can move forward and let all your past stuff go. You'll be letting go of guilt and shame. You know, one of the promises of the 12 steps is that you will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. That is a powerful promise, because I know most people, you know, they don't want to look at the past, but they can't help it because the past engulfs them. And they would love to shut the door on it, but they can't, because they can't stop thinking about it because they have so much guilt and shame and all this other stuff. So they're kind of stuck. So doing a step four is perfect, because then you can kind of look at your past and be like, and make peace with it, I guess would be a good way of putting it, making peace with your past. And you have to do that by looking at the resentments first, because not only do you have to work on the resentments and what your part of it was, so you have to forgive yourself and, you know, on some level, forgive others and hope that they even forgive you. You know, I mean, it's all about that in the program. And when you apply that to anybody, like we were saying, it doesn't have to be addiction. It can be any issue. And I use this a lot with people who just find themselves stuck in life. And I said the word resentment to one of my patients or clients recently, and it looked like the light bulb blew open in her head. And she was like, oh, my God, that's it. That's what's been holding me back. I'm so resentful of everything. And she, you know, took to it like so immediately that by the next session, she already had her notebook full. And I encouraged her to slow down a little bit, because it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotion too. All right, so that five is finding a person to be able to tell what this list is that you've got going on as far as your resentments. So then we end up with number six. So what's that now? Okay. Did I lose you? Oh, Claudia. Whew. I got to tell you, folks, this has been one fun episode. I got to say, this is, I don't have a problem normally about having things going on, but I got to tell you, this is a little bit frustrating. So it's about radical acceptance at this moment.
Okay, there you are. What happened?
Hi. Yeah, okay, so number six. Because I'm talking about radical acceptance right now. So.
Well, what was the last thing I said?
Well, I said, so we have number five. I said, so what's our number six? Because we talked about the fact that it's number five is getting a person to tell about our resentments and how it is that we can express it to another human being. So,
oh my God, you missed all that other stuff I said?
Oh yeah, as far as I could tell,
it was brilliant. It was genius.
I'm sure. Oh yeah, absolutely. You should have heard what I was saying.
Oh boy, this is getting interesting. Well,
yeah.
I kind of went back to step four a little bit and just how it's important not to do it by yourself, that anybody who's listening tonight who's interested in this path, I encourage you to find somebody who understands the 12 steps. Like a lot of therapists do understand them and can use them in practice without you having to have addiction. Because step four, it brings up all these resentments and you're writing them all down. You don't want to be sitting with that by yourself, is what I was saying in a lot more detail than what I just said.
Okay.
But that was the basic. So I think we're probably stopping at step four or step five, because then you're picking somebody to talk to about it. And that person, you know, hopefully will understand kind of why you're in this step work, because you need somebody who's knowledgeable to help you with this. Same thing with the beauty. There's a lot more to know about the beauty way in order to walk the beauty way. 12 steps, kind of the same thing. And Shane and I had talked about the theme of the show being that there are different paths that we can walk through life to create a peaceful way of life. And whether that's in a Native American way or a 12-step way or, you know, next week or not next week, the week after, we're thinking the show is going to be about starting where you are, you know, instead of all this other stuff. So, you know, how to kind of live a life without obstacles. So it's about just choosing a path, and it doesn't matter what path you choose as long as you're feeling better.
Right. And it's you learn not to be detrimental to oneself, and that is all about you. All right, so we're going to stop on five, you said?
Yeah, I think five is pretty simple, and six is just basically, you know, that you're ready to let go of your way of doing things and your habits, your, you know, character defects. So if you're always, you know, like you were sharing that you would rescue somebody else, you know, you had to let that go. You know, so now you're not looking for somebody to rescue, you're helping yourself, which, you know, you recognize that behavior was getting in your way and it wasn't healthy for you. So
and it takes work
that's
to
what
do
you
that.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what we're trying to get across, folks, is the fact that, you know, the 12 steps, they are something that are definitely, definitely, definitely effective. They are. There's no doubt about it. They are. They're effective in addiction. They're effective in life in a number of different ways. But it's work. You got to take the time to do the work. And I call it nurture the now. Well, nurture the now by doing the work. And I bet you're going to end up a big difference in your life to where it's going to make a difference to you. And that's what's important. So, you know, I got to tell you, this has been an eventful, eventful episode. I'm sitting here and I am just tickle pink with this smile on my face because it's been crazy since the very beginning of the show. But you know what? Sometimes it goes like that. Life goes like that. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting here. Do we edit the show? Do we do this? Do we do that? And I'm like, you know what? Life does this. It makes it crazy. Sometimes the circumstances of what goes on in our lives, it just happens the way that it happens, whether we put our input into it or not. And, you know, that's the case here. So we're going to just leave it the way that it is, because I think that it's going to be a testament that, hey, things do not go perfect for anybody. It doesn't go perfect for a person that, you know, like Claudia is a clinical therapist. She knows how to make things work, you know, in her life. That doesn't mean that everything goes perfect. I've been studying for now how long? A little bit over 5 years now in regards to how to make my life better. That doesn't mean things go perfect. You know, same thing with this show. It doesn't go perfect, but it is effective, and that's what we try to do here. So we are going to get going here. It's 9 o'clock as we speak. I want to make an announcement. Over the past couple weeks, I've been dealing with an injury. Well, past couple months, I should say. I've been dealing with an injury that's been kind of crazy. It kind of took me away from the microphone when it came to our engine show, which I call Arisen Strength. My buddy Wayne and I have been away from the mic for quite some time. Wayne's been awesome. He's been, you know, very supportive of me to be able to address what it is that has been going on. It's gotten to the point as to where I am now ready to do that show again. So we are going to come back with Arisen Strength on the 17th. That's this Sunday coming up. We're going to talk about, what it is that we've been doing while we've been away from the mic. And we're also going to be talking about the different type of shows that we're going to have for this upcoming season. So definitely check us out. It's going to be Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and it's going to be a good old time. So for tonight, I just want to say thank you for listening. And she is Claudia Israel. And Claudia, I want to say thank you for all the things that you do for us. You put a lot of passion into it. You got a lot of things going on, whether it be business, whether it be personal. And, you just keep coming. And every time that I ask you, are you ready for the show? You say, hell yeah. And so that really impresses me. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Jane. This is something I really enjoy and I feel very passionate about.
Awesome. All right. So tonight we want to say goodnight to you, and we will be back here next week. We're going to go over, again, the remainder steps here with the 12 steps to happiness, in which we already said, listen, contentment is good. I got to tell you, and when you figure it out, you'll realize how much of life can improve. Thank you very much, folks. And you are listening to The Mindset here on the Speaking the Heart Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Good night.